Philippians chapter 1. This mic appears a little loud. Philippians chapter number 1. We're going to look at verses 12 through verse number 18. Verses 12 to 18. Last week we started a new series in the book of Philippians. Brother John, can you turn this one down just a touch? A little loud. Started a new series in the book of Philippians. Paul is in house arrest, actually. He's in house arrest in Rome as he's writing this to the believers there at Philippi. And the theme of the book is joy. Last week we looked at Paul's joy over the work of God in the believers at Philippi. He saw how they started in faith. They started in faith in Jesus Christ. And then he was joyful because he saw the work of God continuing in their lives. This week, we are going to look at the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul is joyful about that as well. He's inside of prison. And even though he's in prison, even though it's an unfavorable circumstance in his life, no one wants to be in prison, Paul is joyful because the gospel is going out anyway. Amen. People are being saved, the gospel is being preached, and Paul is happy about that. He's joyful about that. And I want each and every one of us to have a part in that as well, furthering the gospel. The text verse is in verse number 12, and he says the furtherance of the gospel. Whenever he says furtherance, that has a positive connotation to it. That means that it's being advanced for good, not for bad, but for good. So we're going to read verses 12 to verse number 18, then I'll give you three areas of service that we need to be doing in order to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. Verse 12 says, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He says, brethren, I want you to know the things that have happened unto me. In other words, the reason that I'm in prison have happened for the furtherance of the gospel, for the advance of the gospel, for the progress of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Everyone knew the reason that Paul was in jail was because of Jesus Christ. And it says there, the palace he's talking about in Rome. That's where he's in, under house arrest. Verse 14, and many of my brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. The other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So he's happy about the furtherance of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you for giving us life and health and strength and liberty, Father. We do pray for those who have been affected by the shooting that's happened over there in Texas, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would give them comfort and give them strength through this tough time, Lord, that you'd bring the town there together and that you'd help them to grow in the Lord and to find strength in you. I pray that you'd be with us here this evening. I pray that you'd help us to learn something from your word and that we would be motivated and want to further the gospel and give it to other folks. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a quote here from John Wooden, I guess you would say, John Wooden. He was a basketball coach for UCLA, one of the best basketball coaches ever. He says, we can have no progress without change. whether it be in basketball or anything else. You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to have progress unless you have change. Now, John Wooden was one of the best basketball coaches ever. I believe that he won 10 NCAA national championships in 12 years. He won 7 in a row. No one else had ever done that before. The most that anybody ever won in a row was 3. He won 7. He said, you got to have change in order to have progress. Now, sometimes change is bad. Sometimes change is good. But you're not going to have progress without change. Sometimes you need to go back to have progress. You need to change backwards. Sometimes you need to change forwards. But he furthered his team to win all of those championships. He progressed them forward. And he said, you're not going to do it without change. How about old Frederick Douglass? He used to be a slave back in the 1800s. And he said, without a struggle, there can be no progress. So he ended up being quite a statesman and had a cause for the cause of abolitionists, or he was an abolitionist, trying to stamp out slavery. And he was an effective man in that movement. And he said, you're not going to progress without a struggle. You're not going to be able to go forward without some kind of a conflict there. That's the same thing that's going on here with Paul. Where's Paul at? He's not laying at home eating Cheetos, watching the TV. He's in jail. He's got problems. He's been thrown in jail for the preaching of the gospel. Man, isn't that terrible? Isn't it terrible that you can't go outside and preach in open air and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ? What was the problem? The problem was, he was saying, there's another king. He's Jesus. Now, there's a higher power. He's not Caesar. It's Jesus Christ, and we must follow him. We must obey him. We must trust in him. We do not trust in the government. Boy, isn't that a sad thing that's happening today? I think more Christians trust in the government than they do in Jesus Christ. Their faith is more in what the government can do, or, man, let's get the right president in there, and then everything will go good. That's not our hope. If that's your hope, man, you got a pretty low standard of hope. Some man up there in the White House is probably, well, I won't get into that. But Paul said, man, all the things that have happened to me, the struggle that I'm going through, and the change that's happening in my life is for the furtherance of the gospel, so it will progress and go further. Are you willing to go through anything in order to progress the gospel? Are you willing to suffer any kind of change? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone in order to progress the gospel? Or I'm going to stay right here in my own little comfort zone and not go outside of it. I'm not going to endure any kind of change, any kind of struggle, any kind of conflict. Because if we do that, the gospel is not going to progress. It's not going to go any further. How far is the gospel going to go with you? Because one day somebody came to you and they told you about the good news of Jesus Christ. They told you that they should have told you, and you may have found this out later, that you can't reach God. You can't please God. There's nothing that you can do in order to get your sins forgiven other than trust Jesus Christ, who is the gospel. He's the gospel. Yeah, and you preach something about the gospel, it better be about Jesus Christ. It better not be about a religion. It better not be about some kind of thing that you have to keep in order to get right with God. That's nothing but bondage. Jesus Christ is the gospel. So someone came to you and they told you about the gospel. Is it going to stop there? You're not going to open up your mouth. I'm not going to open up my mouth and tell anybody else about the gospel. It's not going to go any further than me. How is it with you this evening? Paul expressed his joy over the furtherance of the gospel. Why was Paul joyous over this? Because God was being glorified Jesus Christ was being preached. Man, he was so happy about that. He said, I don't care. I don't care if I'm in jail. I don't care if people are slandering me. I don't care if they're talking bad about me. As long as Jesus Christ is being preached, I'm joyful. I'm happy. Amen. Yeah. For me to live as Christ, he says in the next few verses. For me to live as Christ and to die is gain. Who cares if I'm in prison? People are being saved. They're not going to go to hell anymore. They're no longer condemned in their unrighteous state. Man, that's the gospel. So he's so happy about that. God is being glorified. Shouldn't that be our most important objective in the Christian life? Is for God to be glorified? Hey, I don't want to be glorified. That's the last thing that I need. Last thing I need is to build myself up. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. You're setting yourself up for a trap if it's all about you. I mean, I hate to get ahead of myself, but the prosperity gospel is nothing short of building up the person and putting Jesus Christ down. He's nothing but a glorified bellboy that's going to bring you everything that you want. You just speak your faith. Prosperity gospel. Horrible. Horrible. That's a false gospel. False gospel. So Paul endured affliction. He endured imprisonment. Why? For the gospel. Amen. For the furtherance of the gospel. I tell you what, Grace Fellowship Baptist Church here in Portales, New Mexico is very impotent if we're not putting out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, I think we do a good job of it. We can do better, though. We can further the gospel. There is no furtherance of the gospel without service and sacrifice. Now, God has given us the means to further the gospel. How's that? Well, for one thing, you can live your life as a Christian. Hey, I believe everyone here does that. But you can each examine your life and see, how am I living my life, and is it glorifying to God, and is it furthering the gospel? Because the gospel will not be advanced unless we're willing to sacrifice. Unless we're willing to serve, it will not be. Unless we're willing to use the voice that God has given us, the gospel will not be advanced. What did Paul go out and do, man? Paul went out and he preached. He went to the synagogue and he preached Christ unto the Jews. He said, hey, your dead religion will not save you. You must have Christ. So what are three areas of service that we see in this grouping of verses here that we can learn from? Three areas of service. Number one, we must serve Christ. It's got to all be about Christ. It cannot be about me. It cannot be about you. It must be about Christ. We must serve Christ. We must serve others. And we must, thirdly, serve the gospel. You say, how are we going to serve the gospel? We'll get to that in a moment. That's my third point. First thing we must do is we must serve Jesus Christ. Hey, it can't all be about me and it can't all be about you. It must be about Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ say to his disciples? He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. He said, guys, it's not all about you. It's not all about your career. It's not all about your comfort. How about that crucified life for the believer? Take up your cross and follow me. The crucified life is not a popular subject to preach. Amen. Nobody wants to crucify the flesh. Everybody wants to do what they want to do. But let me tell you something. The gospel will not be advanced or furthered if it's all about you and all about me. It must be about Christ. It must be about Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest. He said, the reason and the only reason that I am in prison is because of Jesus Christ. He said, the reason that I am in bonds, I have my hands behind my back, I cannot leave the room that I'm at, I cannot go outside, I am under house arrest, is because of Jesus Christ. None of us can further the gospel if it's not all about Jesus Christ. You know what has to happen to the gospel if it becomes a selfish motive for you or for me or for any other preacher out there? You know what has to happen? The gospel must be changed. The gospel must be made more palatable. The gospel must be perverted. The gospel must be added to, as I told you about the prosperity gospel a while ago. If it's going to be all about you and me. You know why we have so many millionaire preachers out there today living in this country? Because the gospel's not all about God, and it's not all about Jesus Christ for them. It's about money. And so they say, hey, Jesus Christ can make you rich. Jesus Christ can make you successful. Jesus Christ can give you health and wealth and prosperity. If you'll just become a Christian, you'll be able to float along on a cloud, and man, everything will be so good and so great, and every day will be a Friday. Man, and you can live your best life now. Do you think anybody could go up and tell the Apostle Paul that with a straight face? Paul, if you'll just preach this prosperity gospel, I tell you what, I mean, you won't be in this jail anymore. You can live your best life now.
Yeah,
it can be great. Now, I tell you what, if you're living your best life now, boy, you ain't looking forward to heaven. Because I tell you what, heaven's going to be a lot better than this life.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, this life, Jesus Christ said, in this life, you shall have tribulation.
Yeah.
You shall have trouble.
Amen.
You're going to have heartaches. You're going to have pain. Mm-hmm. There's going to be death. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be all of those things. That's not the prosperity gospel. I mean, don't water down the gospel.
Amen.
Don't change the gospel. The gospel is you are a wretched sinner who cannot reach God. There is no way. The chasm is too wide. You can't reach God. So God had to do something supernatural. God had to reach down from heaven and get a hold of you and save you. That's not the prosperity gospel. Health and wealth gospel. Prosperity gospel, it is God's will for us to be a healthy, wealthy, wise, all of these different things. No, that's a perversion of the gospel. The reason that they are changing it is because it's all about them and not all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't pervert the gospel.
Amen.
You know what else they got to do? They got to add to the gospel. You've got to do some kind of works. You've got to come down to our church and get baptized, or else you're not saved. You've got to take communion, or you're not saved. You're not right with God unless you do A, B, C, and D. Have you got your checklist out? Checked all those boxes? Because if you haven't, well, you're not saved. You're not right with God. And you got to keep coming back every Sunday. Every Sunday, you got to keep coming back. That's false gospel. That's adding to the gospel. What do you need? You only need Jesus Christ. That's all you need. So who's it got to be about? It's got to be about Jesus Christ. We must serve Him and make Him our supreme and sole motivation for preaching the gospel, or it will not be advanced. Paul met up with some false teachers in this book. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 3. He warned the Philippian converts about some false teachers in Philippians chapter number 3. Verse number 18 and 19. Actually, start in verse number 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies of the gospel. Now what's their motivation? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What do they want? Oh, they're worried about something here down on earth.
Yeah.
They're worried about some money. They're worried about padding their bank account. They're not worried about the converts. They're not worried about Jesus Christ. They're not motivated by Jesus Christ. They want money. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must make Jesus Christ our sole and only motivation to further the gospel. It cannot be us. What else we got to do? Number two, we must serve others. We must serve others. Now, Paul, he said, my chains, my bonds in Christ, everybody knows about it. Everybody in Rome, everyone in the palace knew about it, but there were some brethren out there as well who knew about it. And he said, man, I tell you what, you know what? They found out about me and being in prison, and they're waxing confident by my bonds. He said, man alive, there's some guys out there that heard about me being in prison, and man, it made them bold. It encouraged them. It helped them to go out and preach the gospel. Let's look at those verses right there. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What did he do? He encouraged some others to preach the gospel, didn't he? He said, man, there's some guys out there and they got confidence now. They saw how I reacted whenever I got thrown in prison. And so now, man, I tell you what, they are on fire for the Lord. They're out there preaching the word of God. But I tell you what, it had an opposite effect on some of them. Some of them got envious and jealous. I believe they were probably jealous of his preaching. Jealous of his preaching ability, perhaps. And they said, man, I tell you what, old Paul's thrown in prison right now. I tell you what, we're going to go out there and we're going to show him a thing or two. We're going to slander him, I tell you what, but we'll also preach the gospel as well. So there he is out there in prison and got thrown in jail and all those different things. So he was influencing them. I tell you what, is our life an influence to others? You know, God will let certain things happen in our lives, won't they, sometimes? Hard times happen. Bad things happen to us. What happened to Paul here? He got thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. Bad things will happen to us sometimes, won't it? God will let some bad things happen to us. How are we going to influence those we come in contact with? I tell you what, our lives will influence people in one or two ways, either in a positive way or a negative way. Now we see Paul's life influence somebody in a positive way. Some of the preachers went out there and they preached the gospel, and I believe some people were getting saved. Whenever things happen to you and bad things happen to you and God allows certain things to come into your life, how does it influence others? When they see how you react to the problems of life, does it encourage them and influence them in the right way? Or do they see you perhaps faltering and failing and maybe quitting? What did Paul do? He stayed right on the track. He's not going anywhere. He's still joyful in prison. He said, hey, God's still on the throne. I don't have to worry about anything. Jesus Christ is still in charge. So what if I'm in prison? So what if I die? So what if they put my head on the chopping block? Jesus Christ is still in charge. I'm still going to be faithful to Him. When bad things happen to you, whenever bad circumstances happen in your life, how do you react? Do you quit and say, well, I guess God's not in charge anymore. God's only good whenever good things are happening to me. Or is God good all the time? Because I tell you what, that can be an influence on some people. Even non-believers. They can look at your life and say, well, I guess it wasn't real. God's only good some of the time. What else can they do? Sometimes they can look at your life and, hey, become envious. Man, did you see how they're standing up right there? Did you see how they're holding up under the pressure? I don't see how they keep going, how they keep trusting God. I wish I had that. I wish I had his faith. I wish I had her faith. I wish I had her faithfulness. I wish I had the same kind of hope that that woman or that man has. Because look what they're going through. And I tell you what, they're remaining faithful to the Lord. That's the same way Paul had. Paul had an effect two different ways on people. He had a positive effect. He had a positive effect on people, but then he also had a negative effect. But I tell you what, it didn't matter. Both of those times, the men went ahead and preached the gospel anyway. How do our lives affect others? Do they drive others to Jesus Christ? Do they drive others to want what we have? Well, they say, well, you know, basically it's like what everyone else has, you know. Hey, Christianity is a supernatural thing. Christianity is just not like any other belief out there. I believe it is real. It is real. It's not something fake. And when bad things happen to us, who do we lean on? Do we lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, or do we lean on our own intellect or something else? We go away from Jesus Christ. Paul didn't. He stayed faithful. Whenever we leave Jesus Christ, and others see that, unbelievers see that in our life, that doesn't advance the gospel. That doesn't further the gospel. Unbelievers need to see something that is supernatural. Amen. Happening in our life. Amen. Or the gospel's not going to be furthered. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but God has done something in my life. And I'm sure He's done something. He's doing something in each and every one of y'all's lives. We need to cling to that. We need to cling to Christ. You know, Paul was quite an influence. Paul is still an influence today through the Holy Scriptures. Amen. He was an influence then. I mean, I don't know how many people he trained. I know that he trained Timothy. And he told Timothy, he said, Timothy, I have trained you to preach, and now I want you to go out and I want you to teach others. What kind of an influence are you being on other people? Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about other people. And our lives do matter. And our actions do matter. So what happens when you get into a bind? Because each and every one of us are going to get into a bind. Hard times are going to come. We need to remain leaning upon Jesus Christ. The third thing that we need to do as far as service goes is to serve the gospel itself. How do we serve the gospel? We serve the gospel by preaching the gospel. That is proclaiming the gospel. Look at verse number 17. He's still talking there about brothers in Christ and how they are preaching. He says, but the other out of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul's whole life, his entire ministry, was wrapped up in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as Christians, that ought to be our sole purpose as well, preaching the gospel. We must serve the gospel. How do you serve the gospel? You serve the gospel by preaching, proclaiming the good news, telling others. If something has happened to you and you have been saved, we should go ahead and tell others. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, child, old, young. That applies to everybody. Anybody can preach. Preach simply means proclaim. You must preach the gospel. That's what Paul did. Number two, you must defend the gospel. If you hear of somebody perverting the gospel, you should not stand idly by and let it happen. You should defend it. Paul defended the gospel. He wrote an entire book called Galatians, defending the perversion of the gospel. There was Judaizers over there trying to pervert the gospel and add works to it. It's not supposed to happen. You have to defend it. If you don't defend it, it's going to get perverted and somebody else can believe a perverted gospel. He said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. I'm going to defend it. Can you defend the gospel? If somebody's perverting the gospel, you know, hey, wait a second. Now, wait a second. That's not the gospel. Well, you don't have to do any works. What are you talking about? I mean, you don't have to be combative and start a fight, get into a fist fight. I'm not talking about that. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15 tells us how we ought to defend the gospel, a reasoned defense of the gospel. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How are we supposed to defend the gospel? It's called a reasoned defense of the gospel. There is chaos and there is insanity outside of God. We can't even make a logical thought outside of God. I mean, we're not talking about, the gospel is not some kind of pie in the sky kind of thing. We're believing in Santa Claus. No, we don't go around saying, well, we just believe in God and the gospel because we believe in it. You know, that's what my preacher told me and I believe it and that's it. No, that's not a reasoned defense. No, sir. No. The gospel, there you can't make any sense out of life if there is no creator. I mean, and you got to have a redeemer. The world does not make any sense without a redeemer.
Amen.
So you must defend the gospel. Same way with Paul. He said, I'm sent for the defense and he said also the confirmation of the gospel. Same way in that first chapter. The Philippians had been confirming the gospel. That's another way that we serve the gospel is by confirming it. Not only preaching it and defending it, but confirming it. You know how you confirm the gospel? By living it. Your life lines up with what you say you believe. Your life lines up with your faith. So when bad things happen in your life, you say, hey man, God is still on the throne. I serve a sovereign God. He's in charge. You live your life and you forgive others because you have been forgiven. That's confirming the gospel. Whenever you mess up, you don't just fall away and forget it. You don't do those things. Say, man, I got forgiveness through Jesus Christ. That's living the gospel. That's how we serve the gospel. So we serve Jesus Christ. He must be number one in our life. He must be the sole motivator. Number two, we must serve other people. Because it's not about me, it's about other people. It's not about you, it's about other people. It's about seeing people saved. Number three, you must serve the gospel as well. That's three areas of service. Now, how is it with you this evening? Is the gospel going any further than you? Or is it stopping right there? Are you willing to get outside of your comfort zone? Are you willing to get outside of, willing to struggle a little bit? Willing to change a little bit so the gospel will go forward? Because it's not going to. If there is no struggle and there is no change, the gospel will not go forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us hope and giving us strength. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us a Savior. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to serve you and to serve others and to tell others about what you have done for us. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.